fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here on Friday. It is Friday, the 11th day of February. The prep tip of the day is to have a plan A, have a plan B, and have a plan C. That applies to many different aspects of preparation and, of course, your life in general. Let's take, for example, just a quick example. You have a bug-out location. Well, it would be good to have a plan B in addition to the primary bug-out location. Things happen. That's just the way life goes. Things happen. All right, we're going to have open lines this first half hour, the entire hour here, and we're going to focus on the Tet Offensive, which began the last week of January, 1968, in Vietnam. Tet is Tango Echo Tango. Tet is the Chinese New Year celebration. It's a combination of Christmas, the 4th of July, and New Year's all combined into one. It's a great celebration that takes place every year for centuries. I was in Vietnam. I was stationed in Can Tho. That's Cantho, a city that's now more than 1 million people. At the time, it was probably 500,000 people in 1968. The largest city in the 4th Corps, also called the Mekong Delta. Most of the city's infrastructure was built by the French beginning in the 19th century. And I was a 20-year-old intelligence analyst assigned to psychological warfare in the intelligence section. And I got to Vietnam the first week of September 1967, within a few days, in less than 2 weeks, I started hearing that the Viet Cong, the enemy, would launch a major offensive during the Chinese New Year celebration of Tet. Because of my position as an intelligence analyst, I knew about this. It may help to let you know what my daily routine was Monday through Friday. Following breakfast at the Eakin compound, which was a French Foreign Legion location that we took over, I went to the briefing, the secret briefing, at another French Foreign Legion location about a mile away. where I attended the classified briefing of what took place the previous 48 hours on Monday, the previous 24 hours, Tuesday through Friday. From there, I picked up classified documents at several different locations, including the CIA headquarters, cleverly disguised as a university extension, where all the young CIA field agents wore Hawaiian shirts and drove blue Jeeps. And it was really no secret who these guys were. So I would pick up these classified documents. I would go back to my headquarters in psychological warfare. I would brief my commander because he'd rather have coffee with his buddies than attend the secret briefing. And then I began my work of studying classified documents, which included RAND Corporation documents, by the way. RAND is kind of a private CIA of sorts. So as the fall progressed, September, October, November, December, I became increasingly concerned about the nature of this tech. The reports I was getting were very disturbing and very alarming. We, in our capacity in psychological warfare, our main project was to encourage Viet Cong, our enemy, to defect and participate in what was called the Chu Hoi program. Chu Hoi is Vietnamese for open arms, where if they defected, they would be taken to a special facility where any medical things were addressed, medical concerns. They had three real meals a day, a real bed to sleep on, and they were given training to as a carpenter's apprentice or a truck driver or a warehouse man, so that when they left the facility after 2 months or so, they were issued a national ID card that gave them the ability to move about the country unmolested. The new national ID card had no reference whatsoever that they'd previously been an enemy of the state. And when we interviewed these guys, they were telling us about the training. The level of enemy activity the fall of 1967 dropped off to almost nothing, especially where I was in the Mekong Delta. Almost no enemy activity at all. There was a reason for that. They were training, they were getting ready for the big one, the big offensive at the end of January. General Westmoreland, who was the commander of all U.S. forces in Vietnam, he made a speech before a joint session of Congress in 1967, his famous light at the end of the tunnel speech, where he said that the Viet Cong were no longer able to mount a credible offensive, the North Vietnamese also, and the war was nearly over. No worries, mate. I'm paraphrasing, obviously. Of course, General Westmoreland, who I had a lot of respect for, he was a veteran of World War II, where he had a distinguished war record, 4-star general. His understanding of war was based on his experience in World War II. I'm not sure what he did in Korea. He probably had some participation there, I'm sure. Where he understood conventional war very well, moving tanks and artillery on battlefields and moving divisions of men and having parachute drops of paratroopers and all the things that took place in World War II and Korea both. He really did not comprehend the nature of the war he was in charge of. He really didn't. He did not understand the nature of guerrilla warfare, all the nuances of it. There were two competing theories on what was going on in the fall of 1967. The CIA theory, which I had access to since I was in their headquarters 5 days a week, this lovely black lady from Chicago is a woman I interacted with, lovely lady. She was very helpful in helping me get the documents I needed every day. Got to be friends with her. That their theory of the CIA was that a major offensive is coming. It's time to get ready. They're going to hit us and hit us hard. So that's what I learned from the CIA and from other sources not related to the CIA. Army intelligence had a different theory, which was compliant with General Westmoreland. that the Viet Cong, the North Vietnamese, are defeated. They can no longer mount a credible offensive. No worries, mate. The war is almost over. In the meantime, I was telling my buddies in my outfit in psychological operations, I said, guys, don't throw away that fruitcake that your parents sent you for Christmas. Get your hands on extra ammunition any place you can get your hands on it. Do extra work for it, trade for it. I did the same thing myself. I took my own advice. One of my things, you always hear, never volunteer in the Army. Well, I was a pretty gung-ho guy. I volunteered to do combat air missions. And I flew 57 combat air missions as a crew member. My job was to drop leaflets and play our propaganda loudspeaker tapes over the enemy concentrations in the jungle. Let them take their best shot at us. And we routinely took, the aircraft I flew in routinely took hits from the gunfire. But I was telling, one of those missions, one of those days, it was three missions a day when I did fly. Typically, it was a couple of days a month. The last flight got back too late for us to get back safely. We could not travel on the highway between Bentui Airfield and Canto. It was just too darn dangerous. The Viet Cong owned that territory at night. So myself and the two men that were working out there at our warehouse, we decided to make the best of it to get a good meal at the Air Force Chow Hall. Excellent food, by the way. See the movie at the movie theater. And I talked to the guys. I said, we were all told at the airbase that we were going to be attacked that night by the Viet Cong. And my buddies and I, we talked about it, and we decided we didn't want to be hiding in a shelter with these Air Force weenies that were scared to death. That we'd rather be doing soldier stuff and protecting the airbase in exchange for all the ammunition we could carry when the night was over. So the three of us agreed to do that. I was appointed the spokesman to talk to the major in charge of security for the airbase. He was obviously concerned. We approached this man. He had a little mobile home on the edge of the airfield airbase for his headquarters for security. And I introduced myself and my two buddies. We showed up real soldiers with M14s and helmets and flak jackets. He wasn't used to seeing that. And I said, sir, we would like to volunteer to help secure the base tonight in exchange for all the ammunition we can carry when we leave in the morning. He smiled and shook my hand. He says, Roger that, young man. We can do that. He assigned us a bunker on the perimeter where he thought the most likely place would be attacked on a ground attack. The bunker was three aluminum bomb boxes, I guess you'd call them, bomb crates that had been, no bomb in them, of course. They were filled up with sand. One facing the enemy and two on either side, kind of a triangular shaped thing that the three of us could kind of get down in there and be safe from enemy gunfire as long as we kept our heads down. And we spent the night there. About 2 a.m., the mortar attack came. The mortars went right over it. So the young major, he knew what he was talking about, because the mortars were going right over our heads and hitting into the airbase where we would have been with the Air Force weenies. And that's when we braced ourselves for the ground attack when the mortar attack ended. Luckily, it didn't happen that night. We had the Air Force suffered some injuries, no fatalities that night, a lot of damage to equipment and aircraft that night. When dawn came, we were able to relax a little bit, and it got to be full daylight. We reported into the major. He was all smiles and very happy that we got through the night okay, and he gave us all the ammunition we could carry. We went to the mess hall for a good breakfast. We hadn't shaved, of course, in 24 hours. We hadn't had a shower in 24 hours. We were sweating in the Mekong Delta heat all night long, swatting mosquitoes with our sleeves rolled down and our shirts buttoned up. And we walked into that mess hall with our M14s, our helmets, and our flak jackets. And these Air Force weenies looked at us like we were men from Mars, as they just come out of their shelters where they'd been hiding in fright all night. I was never so proud to be a soldier as I was that day. Never. And we had a great breakfast. We went back to work. Put a full day's work in. And went home that night and got a shower and a shave and was able to get some rest. So fast forward a few weeks to the Tet Offensive. We went there that evening. Everybody in town was celebrating, exchanging gifts, you know, and having people over for meals to their homes and shooting off fireworks. That's the Tet Offensive. That's the Tet celebration. We went to bed, and about 2 a.m., I woke up. Initially, I thought, to the sound of more fireworks. I thought, why in the hell are people shooting fireworks off at 2 o'clock in the morning? It was incoming mortars and incoming rockets is what it was. Everybody got up. We went to our battle stations, and I didn't go to sleep for the next 3 days. It was very surrealistic watching the Viet Cong attack the 4th Corps headquarters, where I was Monday through Friday for my briefing. They attack from two different sides. From the, it would be the east side and from the west side. And they were serious. I don't know how many guys they lost that night, but probably, I would say 40 to 50 Viet Cong died that night. I don't know. I don't know how many Americans, quite frankly. It was quite an event. Because the Army didn't pay attention like I did, my unit, the Psychological Operations Unit, we did not have enough ammunition. We did not have enough food. We did have enough water. We had no hand grenades or automatic weapons. M14s could shoot on full automatic, but that's pretty much a waste of time and ammunition. So we were really caught with our pants down. I, on the other hand, and my buddies that had been paying attention, paying heed, we had enough ammunition to make sure everybody had at least some ammunition. And quite frankly, ladies and gentlemen, the first 3 days, it wasn't clear who was going to win. By the end of the third day, American firepower kicked in full force, and we basically destroyed the Viet Cong. The Viet Cong were no longer an effective fighting force the rest of the war. They were done. They were finished. They were wiped out and devastated. But that first 72 hours, it was not really clear who was going to win. Mid-morning, the first day, I'm laying on my belly, ducking mortars. We got the radio on with the radio signal coming out of Saigon, which is about 90 miles away. They were reporting the Viet Cong were inside the embassy compound in Saigon. And I'm laying there thinking to myself with my brilliant 20-year-old brain, if they can't protect the most secure place in Vietnam, the U.S. Embassy in Saigon, what chance do I have down here with my buddies and not enough ammunition in the Mekong Delta? And that was my immediate thought. And I was glad I had a bayonet, quite frankly, hoping I would never need it, but I was ready to use it if necessary. Our young lieutenants who were scared to death, it was obvious they were scared. We're going around to each man, encouraging each man, and making sure our M14s were on semi-automatic. So we didn't needlessly expend ammunition, what limited ammunition we had. It's a very disturbing position to be in when you know you're in battle and you don't have anywhere near the ammunition you need to survive even one firefight. Very disturbing. Here's our break. We'll be right back.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer, It's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer, Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer, excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org. And click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Fix bayonets.
Lay me down in the cold, cold grin. Where a foe many men have gone.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. This hour is sponsored by EMP Shield. Very nice $50 discount on each piece of equipment. That little clip just then was from the movie We Were Soldiers. Colonel Hal Moore in Vietnam ordering his men to fix bayonets. The two words no soldier ever wants to hear. Getting back to the Tet Offensive, about 10 a.m. the first morning, the Tet Offensive, the mortar attacks had stopped. The firing, the shooting has slowed down to almost nothing. Our first sergeant, First Sergeant Jones, he called the battalion together. He was not a terribly tall guy. He stood on a milk crate to address the battalion. We're talking about 25 or 30 men. Here's what he said. Gentlemen, everybody who has one magazine of ammunition, hold up your hands. We had a couple of guys that did not even have one magazine for their M14. Two or more, keep your hands up. Several hands went down. Three or more hands went down. Four or more hands went down. Five or more, almost all the hands went down. About myself and two or three other guys. Six or more, The other guys went down. The hands went down. He looked at me and smiled. The first sergeant was a great guy. Really cared for his men. He says, "Moore, how many magazines do you have?" And I said, 8, first sergeant. He says, "You keep 2 and you distribute the rest of them to these men that don't have any." I said, "Yes, first sergeant." Which, of course, I did. I was glad that I had extra ammo for the guys that didn't have any ammunition. The morning of the second day, we bugged out of our building and went to another building that we had about half a mile away so we could consolidate all the men and officers in one structure to be safer. The following morning, about 2 a.m., I was on guard duty on the roof, and Cobra helicopters were beginning their gun strafes, strafing runs right over the top of us. All the shell casings were falling all over the roof, and our commander, Captain Johnson, he woke up and he came up to the roof wearing a steel helmet, a flak jacket, and his underwear, carrying an M3 grease gun. Another great guy. He was really helped inspire the men to have higher standards and better morale. I think it was the second or third day, we had to run an armed convoy to get to where there was food. That first morning, we had 1 sea ration meal for every 2 men. That's all the food we had on the premises in the building that we were occupying. And we were glad to have it. So we decided to run an armed convoy, 2 deuce and a halfs, and we ran through the streets, which maybe 2 miles or so. That's the closest to Paris of 1945 that I ever felt. The Vietnamese were smiling and cheering and waving at us. They basically, all the rest of the time, they just ignored us as if we were just another truck going by prior to that morning. But we were waving back and smiling also while we held our M14s front, left, right, back, in preparation for being attacked. But that once again made me feel very proud to be an American and to feel like we were doing some good to protect these people from what was coming at them. We got through the Tet Offensive with no casualties. I think it was the third day, my commander asked me to volunteer to drive through the city and observe what had taken place and report back to him. Another guy volunteered to go with me. I had my Thompson submachine gun. He had an M3 submachine gun, so we both had the same ammunition. And, of course, I had my trusty 1911. And we drove through the streets of the city, focusing on the military assets. The MP headquarters, CIA headquarters, the 4th Corps compound, the Eakin compound. General Westmoreland was, I forget if he's getting on or off a helicopter when we showed up there. The only time I ever saw the man in person from a distance. And we reported back to our commander our findings of the devastation that had been happened around town there, around the city. The Tet Offensive went on for officially several months. The old Imperial City of Wei took the greatest devastation, quite frankly. That was primarily a Marine Corps battle. It went on heavy, heavy hand-to-hand combat for days up there. We have a break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Have you ever needed to make a phone call but didn't want the person you're calling to know that it was you on the other end? Have you ever needed to make a call and wanted to keep your phone number and location private? Well, now you can with PatriotPhone.com. PatriotPhone.com will enable you to make unlimited calls anonymously. That's right, unlimited anonymous phone calls to anywhere in the U.S. and 36 countries around the world. Our most popular phone plan includes unlimited calls, your own phone number, voicemail, call forwarding, and many other great features. Visit PatriotPhone.com to get your own phone number in any state and take back control of your phone calls. PatriotPhone.com also allows you to record your calls and access all of your phone records online. PatriotPhone.com works with iPhones, Android-based phones, and Windows computers. Protect your privacy and your freedom with unlimited anonymous telephone service from PatriotPhone.com. Today, that's PatriotPhone.com.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee that's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
As I said to those who've joined the government, I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. My website is thelibertyman.com. A lot of new things there. The 20 acres that I announced yesterday for sale, it's been sold here in my county, Crawford County. We will have another listing up there soon, hopefully by before Monday morning. It's labor-intensive to get these things up. My webmaster is very diligent, but you might want to check that out. There'll be another parcel there. I believe there's four or five right now listed for sale. And, of course, I'll be getting energy cleaners and getting all the back orders caught up before Tuesday. I expect to be shipping out all the back orders Monday. If you're tired of being tired, if the arthritis pain keeps you from doing the things you love, can't go dancing with your honey, going for a walk in the park, riding a bicycle, well, whatever it might be, because of arthritis pain, the energy cleaner will help you get your life back. Check out the details. You can place your order for your energy cleaner, your beautiful micro plush throw, all you current energy cleaner owners. I sold out the first shipment in just about 10 days, and I doubled my order that's coming in next week. So check out the micro plush throws. You can use them on your bed, on your recliner, on your car seat. They're beautiful, they're elegant, and very warm and cozy. Only $75 shipping included. Toll-free airline for your energy cleaner, your micro plush throw, your mattress pad to go with the energy cleaner is 800-592-9543. I make a diligent attempt to talk about the Tet Offensive every year about this time. And that's what we're doing right now. The second morning of the Tet Offensive, we took some gunfire from a building across the street. First Sergeant said, Moore, I want you and these two guys to go up the roof and cover me. I'm going to go up to the roof across the street and check it out. So I go up to the roof. Sergeant Jones appears, and I'm covering him with my M14. Guy on my left, guy on my right. Shots ring out. The guy on my right, he and I maintain our cover. The guy on my left drops down and curls up into the fetal position because of his fear. We got through that okay. Sergeant Jones was okay. We didn't find any Viet Cong across the street. However, we found out that an Air Force sergeant who lived across the street had committed suicide. He was so fearful of what was going on that he committed suicide. It was ruled. Very tragic situation. I learned to take a bath out of a helmet and was glad to be able to do it. That helmet full of water, that's all I could get my hands on, was a helmet full of clean water. And it felt good and refreshing to get a bath out of a helmet. This second night or the third night, I was really, the first time I really had a sleep, I guess, was about the third night. I've been up continuously for 3 days. The building I was in, there was no beds available. I found a stack of nice clean cardboard that I could lay my head down on. That was one of the most comfortable sleeps I've ever had in my life, was to go to sleep on a stack of cardboard. That was so nice to be able to sleep after 72 hours. Sleep deprivation will do strange things to your brain. You can read about it. You can talk to somebody about it. You can maybe watch a video. But until you actually experience it, it's really hard to comprehend what sleep deprivation does to your brain. You'll be, especially at night, you'll be staring out into the jungle, waiting for something to move that shouldn't be moving. And you'll see things move that aren't moving. All your perceptions are both in heightened and different, shall we say. Little things are irritating. Little sounds that normally you wouldn't pay attention to are irritating. And you yourself become irritable. And you will do anything you can to get 15 or 20 minutes of sleep. You become desperate for sleep. Your human body has to sleep to be normal and to function properly. That's why sleep deprivation is used to torture people. It's very effective. Leaves no marks behind, causes no visible injuries, and it's very effective, sleep deprivation. So I really didn't get a full night's sleep until the third night of the Tet Offensive. I was very glad to get it. It was, I guess, nearly a week before we could resume normal activities, maybe 10 days. I don't recall specifically, quite frankly. We were in touch with our guys in Saigon, our higher headquarters. They took a beating up there. Very dear friend of mine, we had about a dozen of us, we're all in the same class, military intelligence school, and they split us up between I Corps, 2 Corps, 3 Corps, and 4th Corps. But we stayed in touch during the war as best we could, and we became lifelong friends and stayed in touch all these decades. It's frequently difficult for non-combat veterans to understand the mindset of a combat veteran towards the men he served with. My wife had difficulty understanding this. I told her once, I said, honey, if Ralph or Phil or Joe or any of these guys call me up at 2 o'clock on a Sunday morning, everything changes. In fact, that did happen. The daughter of a friend of mine called me up at noon on a Saturday. By noon Sunday, 24 hours later, I was on a plane to the Philippines to help him. It's an unbreakable bond that you acquire under those circumstances. A lifelong unbreakable bond. That's what it is. As well it should be. We came to realize very quickly we could not count on the U.S. government. We could not count on the U.S. Army. The only thing we could count on was each other. That was it. The only thing we knew we could count on with no reservation, with no doubt whatsoever, was each other. I remember the flood we had in St. Louis in the early 90s, whatever that was. Massive, terribly damaging flood. My friend Joe calls me up from Baltimore. I hadn't talked to him in decades, 20, 10 or more years. John, you okay? He would have dropped everything to help me if I needed it, as I would do for him. That's the strength and the validity of the unbreakable bonds that men share that have been in war together. If you understand it, that's okay. If you don't, I don't care. That's simply the way it is. Those of us who've been in war, we never want to do that again. To see the horror of war. The speech given by the colonel in Apocalypse Now, the special forces colonel who went off on his own, was very descriptive of the horror of war. The horror of war is no different now than when Genghis Khan was running across the plains of Europe and Asia. No different whatsoever. The cruelty of man to man has not and never will change. Just because we have Star Wars technology has not changed the cruelty and the barbarity of warfare. It can't and it won't. There were attempts, mostly in the 19th century, to make warfare more civilized, with some limited results. Treatment of prisoners, for example, weapons that were banned from use. Ironically, as horrible as the Third Reich was, they never used poison gas on the battlefield during World War II. Even when they were losing, they didn't use poison gas on the battlefield. The United States used poison gas, however, on the battlefield, World War II. How ironic is that? Are we at the edge of war right now? Possibly. My friend Jeff Nyquist is convinced that we are. And I wish I had a way to counter that. I don't. I'm as prepared for warfare as I reasonably can be. I hope many of you are as well. I remember giving a presentation to mostly a female crowd about being safe on the streets. And this one lady, she spoke up. She says, "John, you want us all to become Green Berets?" And it kind of stopped me in my tracks. Well, I don't expect all of you to become Green Berets, hardly. I expect you to learn whatever skills you're capable of learning and being able to do whatever you're capable of doing within your limitations. Everybody's got limitations. a 20-year-old Marine has limitations and an 80-year-old grandmother has limitations. They're just different. That's all. Was it Clint Eastwood in one of his films? He said something to the effect of a man's got to know his limits, something to that effect. My limits are different as a 74-year-old man than they were when I was 20. Of course they are. They're different. I don't anguish over what I can no longer do. I take joy in what I can do. And I would encourage everybody else to do the same thing. Met a very nice lady last night. Moved here from Colorado. She's probably listening. She's, because of her situation, her health situation, she's has to move about in a wheelchair. She still has capabilities. Very bright woman, very intelligent. She could operate a CQ desk, charge a quarters desk at a location where there's a team of people. She could be a radio operator. There's probably other things that she can do that her being bound to a wheelchair don't prevent her from doing, just as an example. We all have limitations. And I know I'm repeating myself, but it's worthwhile repeating. Do not anguish over what you can't do. Take joy in what you can. That's a healthy way to look at life. It really is. That's my approach. I'll never run 100 yards in 10.0 seconds again in my life. I know it's not going to happen. I can run 100 yards or 100 meters in a good time, a really good time. And if they remove the mask mandates from the Senior Olympics, I might just compete this year. I don't know yet. They haven't posted, at least as of 2 weeks ago, they hadn't posted what, if any, silliness they're going to have for mask mandates in the Senior Olympics in St. Louis. So, yes, I survived the Tet Offensive. I'm glad that I did. All my personal friends did. I'm glad that we did, and we went on to have, well, actually, one of the guys I went to high school with, or two of them, they both died in Vietnam, and I don't recall specifically if it was during the Tet Offensive or not. Great guys. Lives cut short before they really had a chance to live life to its fullest. But the Tet Offensive was a wake-up call for the U.S. military, for the American people, the American government. Walter Cronkite gave up his support for the Vietnam War following the Tet Offensive. President Johnson was very dismayed because he knew the influence that Walter Cronkite had on the entire American population. At the time, Cronkite was called the most trusted man in America. His support of the Vietnam War changed dramatically following the Tet Offensive, maybe even during it. Major news publications really turned against the war during and after the Tet Offensive. Our losses were spread out. The body count of American soldiers were spread out to make it look like it wasn't quite as bad as it was to the American public. And they fudged the numbers in the following way. If you were injured, really, really serious injured, they would medevac you to Japan. If you died in Japan in our U.S. Army hospital, you were not counted as a Vietnam War casualty. That's one of the games they were playing back then to give the appearance of less men were dying than actually were. So the deception has been going on for decades, ladies and gentlemen. That's the point of this part of our conversation. The deception of our government deceiving our own people has been going on for decades. One of our men at the meetup last night read Robert Kennedy's book, 800 plus pages, twice last month. After hearing his review, I'll probably order a copy of it today and read it for myself. Kennedy, by training, is an attorney, a brilliant man, well-educated, and apparently the book is very well-referenced and very well-researched, and I'm looking forward to reading it. Okay, looks like we got a caller here. We got a break coming up. We'll get started on the call. We have Glenn, Pennsylvania. Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning, John. I'd ask you to tolerate my Bluetooth for just a few seconds here while I read this. And as I'm sure you're aware, you've heard this before many times probably. Just point out in the book of Isaiah, chapter 2, verse 4, says, and this is alluding to a time more than 1,000 years yet in the future after the millennial reign of Christ on earth. And it says, he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore.
Okay, Glenn. Thank you for the heads up on it. We appreciate it. We have our last break this hour. We'll be right back.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop and lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop and lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton wool, and there I'm not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on one frosty morning. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Well, I wish I was in
back, ladies and gentlemen. Well, that's my summary of what took place January, into January, February, March of 1968 in Vietnam. We're going to have Brady with us at top of the hour here. We'll talk about the rocket stove for that half hour. Bob in the hour, we'll get back to open lines and talk about anything you guys want to talk about. It's the reality of war is brutal. For most Americans, war is 90 minutes in an air-conditioned dark room with a bag of popcorn. Some of the more recent war films, Saving Private Ryan comes to mind, are very realistic in their combat scenes, brutally realistic. Combat scenes for a combat veteran are very disconcerting, shall we say. Depending on which war, but if it's realistic, it puts the combat veteran back in combat, and it can be pretty tough. It can be, and it doesn't matter how long ago the war was. It can still be pretty tough. Your subconscious can't tell the difference between reality and fiction when it comes to films a lot of times. That's why it can be so tough for a combat veteran to watch a war movie. But I hope that this past hour has been informative. It's helped people understand not only the Tet Offensive of 1968, but the whole concept and reality of war and how brutal and how barbaric it is. Unfortunately, most of the men and women who are advocating war are not combat veterans. Very few, if any of them are. They have no more firsthand experience with warfare than the rest of you out there. They simply don't. It's a theory. It's a concept. It's not real. It's not their reality. Simply is not. And of course, when we got these civilians in charge of the military is going to do what they're ordered to do. Of course they will. This General Milley character, I'm not sure what to think about him. I'm not sure whose side he's on. The information he was giving the communist Chinese during the Trump administration are very concerning. Obama spent 8 years getting rid of most of the, as many alpha male warriors as he could. We have a top of the hour break. We'll be back with Brady. We'll be talking about the rocket stove for a few minutes. Stay tuned.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Truth, truth.